Well, good morning. It's Easter. This is the most celebratory time in the life of the church. This is our Super Bowl. This is when our King is celebrated more than any time. This event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the reason why we exist as a church. It would be wonderful if he died for us, but it would be terrible if he never rose from the dead. This weekend, beginning with Good Friday, we have been looking about the scripture, and we have been studying through a word picture. And the word picture that we've been looking at is the shepherd. This weekend is all about the shepherd. And today I want to take you through John chapter 10. And I've entitled this message, The Final Day in the Life of a Shepherd. And it's in John chapter 10, in the first 18 verses. And it works this way, it forms this way, it kind of unfolds, almost like a day. There's morning, and in the morning, the shepherd is forming and organizing his flock. And you could think of the morning as that time when Jesus was calling the disciples, when he began his ministry, and he's calling his disciples, and he's forming his flock. And then you get to noon, you get to midday, and there you see the shepherd is feeding his flock. And then finally, you get to the evening, and the evening is where the shepherd is protecting his flock. So let's go back and start again. Let's start at the beginning of the day, in the final day in the life of a shepherd. You'll see it in verses 1 through 6 of John chapter 10. I hope you have a Bible, or I hope you have the scripture, either on your iPad or your phone. Follow along with me. Let me begin to introduce this first part of the day, the first part of the ministry of Jesus, this way. It talks about the fold of the sheep. Sheepfolds were walled enclosures near a village. And they were to be used, these sheepfolds were to be used by all the shepherds in that area, who were part of that village. Shepherds would place their flocks in the fold at night. And then in the morning, each one would gather his own sheep and lead them out to pasture for the day. Now the shepherd in John chapter 10, in this story, represents Christ. And the sheepfold is a picture of Judaism at the time of Christ, or the religion at the time of Christ. It was the religious system which God's people were kept in until Christ came. Now listen to verses 1 and 2. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. So the first thing you want to notice in these two verses is you will always know the true shepherd because the true shepherd is authentic. He comes the proper way. He doesn't climb over the walls. He doesn't impose himself. He is qualified to come to the door because he has sheep in the fold. And so he always comes the proper way. And this essentially just recognizes that Jesus had the right credentials to be the shepherd. He was fulfilling all the scriptures. There are over 300 prophecies about Jesus the Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled all of those prophecies. And that meant that he had the authority to come for his sheep. So first, the true shepherd comes the proper way. Then look at verse 3, the first part. To him, the doorkeeper opens. So next we notice that the doorkeeper recognizes the true shepherd. Who's the doorkeeper here? The doorkeeper is John the Baptizer. Before Jesus came, God sent a forerunner, and that forerunner was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was there to prepare the way. And when Jesus came, John recognized him. In fact, John introduced him to the world. He introduced him to the world not as a shepherd, but as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But when John recognized the true shepherd, then as the gatekeeper, as the doorkeeper, he opened the door. And he pointed the sheep towards the shepherd. Look at the end of verse 3. It says, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The shepherd knows all of his sheep. He knows each and every one of them. He calls them by name. That is how intimate the shepherd is with his sheep. And you know what that's like, don't you? I mean, these disciples were called by Jesus, and they were called by name. And in fact, he changed some of their names. But you know, you've experienced, you who are part of the flock of God, you know when you heard that call, that he was calling you by name. He knows his sheep, and he calls them by name. And then listen to verses 3, at the end of verse 3 through 6. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. Not only does he know their name, but they know his voice. You know, when a shepherd would go to the gate and the gatekeeper would open the door, he would call the sheep and he would call them by name. And the sheep, they may not be very smart, but they know the voice of the shepherd. And they hear his voice, and from the fold they come to the door. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Listen to verse 5. A stranger they simply will not follow. Isn't that great? I don't know about you, but I have seen lots of people believe lots of crazy things. And always in my life, I ask myself the question, how could someone believe that? And I recognize it's a foreign voice to me. It's not a voice that I hear. It doesn't make any sense to me. It makes sense to a lot of other people, but it doesn't make sense to me. Why? Because it's a strange voice to me, and I will not follow a stranger. One of the great things about being a child of God is that we can be deluded for a while, but at some point we say, wait a minute, this is wrong. This isn't right. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Someone said to me, they said, you know, why are people in such a panic today over the threat of the COVID-19? Now, I understand that Christians, there are many believers, followers of the flock of Jesus who also are fearful right now. But those who have been listening to the voices of strangers, they are in great fear. And someone said to me, why are people panicking? And I said, because they don't know the voice of the shepherd. And they've been following a stranger. And a stranger doesn't have their goodwill in mind. So verse 6 explains what Jesus is saying. It says, this figure of speech, this word picture, this shepherd, this idea of a shepherd and his sheep, this figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them because he's talking to religious leaders. He's talking to people who have been following strangers. And he's also talking to his own sheep, his own disciples. This figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they didn't understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. I don't know if you've ever shared the gospel with someone and they look at you with a blank stare because it doesn't make any sense to them at all. The reason is because they don't hear the voice of the shepherd, because his sheep hear his voice and follow him. And if you're a child of God today, you should be very grateful that you can hear, you can understand, and you can follow. We move from the morning now. We've worked our way through the morning. The shepherd has gone and he's gathered his sheep from the fold. The doorkeeper has let him in. The sheep have heard his voice and they followed him out. And now he's been leading them out and he's been taking them out to the hillside, out of the village, out to a place where they can graze and they can find water to drink. So it's midday, and the main job of midday, the morning was all about forming and organizing the sheep, getting them all together and getting them to come together and follow him. Now it's midday, and now the main thrust of this part of the day is to feed the flock. This is the second scene. The sheep have been led away from the village, and they find themselves on a grassy slope. And there's also running streams for pasture and drink. The text could get confusing at this point, because in this part of the scripture, especially verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. But I want you to know something. This isn't that first door. That's where people get confused. The first door is presided over by the doorkeeper. There's a gatekeeper, and he makes sure that no one can get into the fold unless they pass through him. So he's the gatekeeper. We said that was John the Baptist. Now Jesus says he is the door. And what kind of door? This is a second door. This is the door to nourishment. This is the door to the pasture. This is the door to the streams of living water. It's the door of provision. And as the gatekeeper was the door for the fold, now the shepherd is the door for the pasture. So, what is the pasture? Well, to begin with, it's salvation. It's salvation. Let me read verses 7 through 9. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Listen to verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. So this is about salvation. So you hear the voice of the shepherd, and you come, and you're saved, and he's the door of salvation, but not just that. And will go in and out and find pasture. What's going on here? Well, the shepherd is the door of salvation. What does that mean? Perfect safety for the sheep lay in being near the shepherd. If a sheep wanted to be safe, he had to stay close to the shepherd. Because they're not in the fold anymore. They're out in the country. They're out on a hillside. They're out in pasture and grazing land. So if you wanted to be safe as a sheep, you wanted to stay by the shepherd. It also says at the end of verse 9, You'll go in and out and find pasture. And that means he's not only the door of salvation, he's the door of nourishment. Here's what this means. It means it's the shepherd's responsibility for locating pasture. God knows where to direct his sheep. Here's how that applies to you. God knows where to direct you for nourishment. If you'll listen. Because he wants to nourish you. You cannot be nourished on your own. As a sheep, you cannot find your way. It's the shepherd's responsibility for locating pastures. Christ is the nourisher of believers, and spiritual growth occurs as we feed on him. Here's what he said in John 6, which didn't make sense to the false shepherds. He said, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood," which simply represents you must intake the life of Christ in you if you are going to be nourished. And then verse 10, listen to verse 10. This is a famous verse, and this tells you just how rich the nourishment is that this shepherd provides. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. See, they're out in the pasture now. They're out in the grazing land. They're out. These sheep are out where there's running water. And guess what? There were thieves. And there were robbers. And they were there watching. And so he warns them. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He says, but I'm here with you as your shepherd. And here's what I have come for. They come to kill you. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Do you know, God had in mind something for you and me when we were created. You know what that was? The richest, fullest life. So that we would enjoy abundant life. And here's what Jesus is promising. He is promising a far better life than we could ever imagine. That's what Scripture says. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Or at the end of Ephesians chapter 3, it says, and our God is able to do abundantly beyond what we could ask or think. That's the life that we can have. We can have this life. And Jesus is the door to abundant life. He's the door of salvation, nourishment, and the door of abundant life. So we've talked about the morning. The morning was all about forming and organizing the flock. Midday, it's all about nourishing, feeding the flock. Now we come to the evening. Now we come to the end of the day in the life of the shepherd. And at the end of the day, the main job of the shepherd was to protect the flock. Often shepherds took their flocks so far from the village in search of pasture and water, especially in the dry season, that they couldn't get back to the fold at night. They were out in the wilderness, so to speak, and danger lurked all around. And this was the time that the shepherd and his protection was needed most. Verses 11 through 13, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, the shepherd knew that his main responsibility in the evening and then through the night was to protect his sheep. Why? Because there was danger all around. There were wild animals. There were robbers and thieves. They wanted to shear the sheep. They wanted to kill the sheep. And they wanted to eat the sheep. So his main job was to protect them. And you had to have someone You had to have someone that would actually fight off whatever danger that the sheep had to face. Here's what Jesus says. I love my sheep so much that I will fight to the death for them. And that's what this says, verse 11 through 13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand, someone who's just doing it for money, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves his sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And you know who the wolf is here, don't you? We know that the robbers and the thieves were the false shepherds of Israel who climbed over the fold. They didn't have the credentials. They didn't have the authority. But you know who the wolf is here, don't you? The wolf is the one who is a roaring lion prowling about seeking someone to devour. This is the evil one. He says, when the hireling sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. That was the intent. Do you remember the words of Jesus to Peter on the night in which he was betrayed? He said, Peter, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat. He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own knows me. The shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. And do you know what? Many shepherds died and have died over the years and continue to die while tending their flock. There were robbers and thieves, as well as wild animals, who were always willing to kill, steal, and consume the sheep. Do you know what? Most shepherds never saw the danger coming. They knew it was there. But when it came, it was too late. When they finally recognized that it was coming, they generally lost the battle. This shepherd that we're talking about here, this good shepherd, he knew it was there, he knew it was coming, and he knew it would cost him his life. And he stayed anyhow. Here's what he says in this text. He says, this is something that a hireling would never do because he doesn't own the sheep. But the shepherd owns the sheep, and this shepherd had planned to die. He knew that in calling them out of Judaism, he knew in making them his flock and calling them by name, he knew that at some point the robbers and the thieves and the wolf would come, and it was going to cost him his life. And he planned on it. He planned on it. He knows his sheep. Verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is wonderful because it means that God is able to protect us as our shepherd. Jesus is able to protect us because he has perfect knowledge of his sheep. Do you know that Jesus knows everything about John Bell? It's scary because the wolf also knows everything about John Bell. He knows all my propensities, all my idiosyncrasies, all my tendencies. He knows exactly where to attack me. But as the wolf knows how to attack me, the good shepherd knows how to protect me. The shepherd knows the weaknesses. He knows that we... I love that old hymn that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God. I'm prone to wander and get lost. And then listen to verse 16. This is really great. Verse 16, he says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Do you know those original 12 were part of the original flock? But Jesus was anticipating in the future that there were other people who were not part of the flock of Judaism, but were dispersed in the world from all the nations, and they were not part of that flock, but he was going to go and get them in the same way that he went for the disciples. And that's you and me. We are part of that flock. He says, I have other sheep. I'm one of those other sheep. You're one of those other sheep. This shepherd is so great. He's so great because he's able to enlarge his flock even though he's been put to death. Isn't that amazing? Like, because the shepherd died, we are gathered here today. And then the question is, how are the sheep kept? How are the sheep safe? To understand this, we actually have to go to verse 29 of John chapter 10. You see, the shepherd is killed. What happens? What happens when a shepherd is killed? Well, when a shepherd is killed, if there's thieves and robbers and a wolf, the sheep are probably going to die. But in this case, the sheep don't die. They're frightened, they're afraid, they're discouraged, but they're safe. Listen to John 10, 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do you understand that the moment that Christ was put to death as the great shepherd, the protection of the Father was on those disciples, and they didn't even know it. Listen to verses 17 and 18, because you see that this was all prearranged. This was all part of the plan, that the shepherd would die, but that the sheep would not be scattered. You understand that there was a conversation, there was an agreement made between the Father and the shepherd. And it's revealed in verse 17 and 18. He says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I might take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up. This commandment I receive from my Father. You know, when shepherds die, we said the sheep are scattered and they're probably going to die. But the fold, the flock, the sheep of the good shepherd stayed intact. Because he willingly laid down his life, and that's exactly what he and the Father had planned. And the Father and the agreement was something like this: I want you to lay down your life for the sheep. As I said, generally when you lay down your life for the sheep, if the shepherd dies, so do the sheep. But the Father said, if you will lay down your life for the sheep, I will keep those sheep. They will be protected, because they will be in my hand, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. And he says, if you will do this, I will be pleased, and I will be glorified, and I will give you the power to be raised from the dead. No one took Jesus' life. He laid it down freely. He wasn't a victim. This wasn't some plot by evil leaders or even the evil one. He laid it down freely. He had the power to lay it down. And even better, he had the power to take it up again. It's 3 days later. We went through the morning. The morning was gathering the flock. We went through midday, and midday was nourishing the flock. We went through the evening, and the evening was protecting the flock. And he protected them, even though he was put to death. In fact, his being put to death saved them. And then he was raised from the dead. It's 3 days later and it's morning. Women go to the tomb. And what do they find? It's empty. The shepherd is risen. Indeed. Indeed. Let me close with this. It's from Hebrews chapter 13. And it's a benediction. And it's a perfect benediction for this day. Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You are his sheep. He is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And he is the chief shepherd. And he knows you by name. And you hear his voice and follow him. And do you know how far you're going to follow him? You're going to follow him all the way to eternal life. Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for John chapter 10 that explains to us how we are sheep, but we are sheep with a shepherd. We are not lost. We're not weary. You have looked with us, looked at us with compassion. And you have seen us, Lord, and you have called us by name, and we have heard your voice, and we want to follow you. Lord, we thank you that Christ is raised from the dead, that we have a living hope, and it's all because Jesus is alive. And we thank you for that. This Easter Sunday, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.